Welcome to the Lantolt School Podcast. In this episode, you'll hear how the school adapted to still make learning fun, and stay tuned until the end where we find out about the legend of the Death Eye.
G'day. My name is Lance Holt. Lance Holt School first came to me in 1970, and I worked there and enjoyed my time there for 7 years. The overriding principle of everything is learning should be fun. And we're here to have fun.
Hi, my name is Miriam and my family started at Lance Holt School in 2004, so about 16 years ago. I have two sisters, Sigrid and Alessandra, who went to Lance Holt too. Lessie's still here, she's in her last year now. And my parents, Catherine and Robin, have been involved in the school too ever since we started here.
I'm Robin Guttinger. I'm the father of three girls that have been through Lance Holt School. We started in 2004. The first time I walked into Lance Holt School, it was an open day, and Catherine had sort of seen this advertisement, and I walked in and I thought, what? This isn't a school. It was like, you know, the warehouse building and these stairs and then just this random assortment of kids and teachers, and I thought, what's going on here? Where's the playground? Where's the oval? But then it wasn't long before I sort of really started to get the vibe of the place, and it was so different to, you know, what I'd experienced in the peripheries of Perth in the 80s as a primary school kid.
Oh, it's quite magical. It's warm and welcoming and it feels safe and it's like a beautiful community. And, you know, it has its ups and downs like any place, but it's just a good place at heart and it's special.
Hello, I'm Catherine and I am a mum of three daughters who have been, all of them, done their entire primary schooling through Lance Holt School. And we started at the school in 2004, and this is our 17th year and our final year. We were on the waiting list. We couldn't get a place. And we were like, I'd just about given up. And, yeah, right at the end, and I just had our second daughter, Sigrid. And I remember I was at home and I was feeling like, what am I going to do? Mim's supposed to go to kindy next year. We haven't got a school. We've got no place for this one school that I wanted for her. And then all of a sudden there was a phone call and Catherine was on the end of the phone and she said, did you still want Miriam to come to Lance Holt School? And I was like, yes, we're in. So I took Mim and Sigrid in to fill out all the paperwork up in the office. And we went through and we met these three little boys and they were sitting on the floor and they had a fake plastic microwave and some plastic animals. And they were like, I said, oh, what are you doing? And they said, when I was looking at them, I thought, oh my gosh, they're microwaving animals. I'm not so sure about this school. What are we doing? You know, first time parent school. And I said, oh, what are you doing? And they said, oh, well, these animals, they're like time traveling and we're putting them into this time machine and they're going to another dimension and this is the portal. And I was like, I think we'll be fine here. It'll be good. Yeah. So we went upstairs and filled in the paperwork and I said, do I have to put Sigrid on the waiting list as well? She was only a few months old then. And we had like the registrar at the time, Sam Jones. She said, nah, you're here for it now. You can come for as many years as you want. So that was the beginning.
Hello, my name is Cav Temperley. I was a student at Lance Holt School in the 1980s and then a parent at Lance Holt from the 2010s all the way up to 2020. I always felt this great sense of debt to Lance Holt because as a young kid I'd gone there and I think I was quite broken, and as a community school they really helped put me back together, and when I left I felt much more like a complete human. So many years later, after I'd gone out into the world and made my name playing music in the band Eskimo Joe, they asked me to come back and, you know, do a talk to the 3-4 class that was run by Christine, was the teacher at the time. So I went in, you know, dressed in my full, you know, rock star regalia, and they gave me a dusty old acoustic guitar. And I think I spent the afternoon just playing some Green Day songs with them and, you know, having some photos and bits and pieces. And I looked around the school, and the kitchen was exactly the same as I remember it. But I just went home that day, and I just felt this sense of wonderment that this school still existed and it was still just as amazing as I left it. So I went back to my girlfriend and I said, I just want to have children so I can send them to Lance Holt. And do you know what? Careful what you wish for, because 8 months later, Hunter Templey was born, and Hunter was always going to be a Lance Holt school kid. So by the time he was three, we had him enrolled, and his first teacher was Juliet, who was absolutely amazing, just such a fantastic teacher. Then he had Annabelle, and then for year one, he had a teacher called Danica, and I believe it was Danica's first year. This was her first class, and she was excellent, exceptional. Lance Holt has this amazing ability to pick great educators, and Danica obviously came into that school. She was the right fit. It just felt very, very natural from day one, and Hunter had a wonderful year that year.
Hello, my name is Danica C. I joined the Lance Holt family in 2015 as the year one teacher, where I stayed as the year one teacher until 2019. I left in 2019 to have my little girl Lottie, and took a brief hiatus from teaching at Lance Holt, where I returned as the pre-kindy or the prindy teacher in 2021 and am now in my second year of teaching prindy. When I was completing my undergrad degree to become a teacher, I was offered an invitation to participate in the honours program. And with that, I created my own research project alongside my supervisor, who's one of the parents in our school. And part of my research question was looking into how children's rights kind of manifested in early childhood educators' teaching practice. So my supervisor gave me a handful of schools and said, go and have a look at their websites and see if any of them sing out to you, for you to kind of go to the school and do your research there. And Lance Holt's was one of them. And after I'd had a look at their website, Children's Rights just sung through every single thing that I'd read. And I'd said to my supervisor, that's the school that I want to go to. And I was so fortunate that not only did Catherine approve of my research to happen at the school, but three of their amazing early childhood teachers also agreed to it. So I got to carry out my honours research there. And after I finished my research, I kind of said, that's the school for me. I'm going to end up working there. When I graduated, I was given a position in a government school where I learned a lot about the importance of cultural fit. And this school was not a good cultural fit for me. I didn't fit into the school. The school didn't fit in for me. And it was about halfway through term three that I actually said to the principal there, look, this isn't really working out. I'm going to see the year through, but if you have a job for me for next year, I want you to give it to someone else who really wants to be here, because it's not me. So kind of essentially had no job for the following year, where my aforementioned supervisor kind of said, Danica, have a look in the newspaper. There's a job advert there that I think that you might like. I got this message while I was just heading out to brunch with one of my friends. So we made a beeline for the news agency and then headed to brunch, where I opened the paper and there was an ad for Lance Holt School. And I can just remember the moment. I was sitting at the cafe and I just burst into tears because I thought, oh, this is it. And so be it. It all kind of fell into place. It was just meant to be. I know that they interviewed some really amazing educators, and I'm so privileged that they chose me to be their year one teacher for that point in time. And it's a story for the stars. I moved to Fremantle for the school. So I'd kind of said to Catherine halfway through my first year, I've moved for you. You need to keep me now. I've bought a house for you. So she kept me. I think, you know, it was because I was also wonderful and a good fit for the school too, but I think the house kind of did something for her there too.
My name is Sam Wynn, and I was a teacher at Lance Holt School for over 20 years. I started there in 1992 and I finished there in 2017. Over those years, I taught pre-primary year one. I started the kindergarten. I was the senior early childhood teacher and then the lead teacher at Lance Holt.
So I guess that first year was pretty daunting for me coming in because Samantha was one of the amazing teachers that I was able to interview through my research project. And, I mean, I was essentially taking her role as the year one teacher because she'd taken a step out of the classroom. And all I could hear in the lead up to me starting the school was, oh, you've got such big shoes to fill. And here's me going, oh, I've only taught for a year. Am I good enough? You know, imposter syndrome. I'm coming into this school going, this is like the utopia of schools. And I know that Samantha's amazing. I've heard how she speaks about education and children and teaching. And now I'm essentially stepping into her shoes. And am I actually good enough for this? What am I doing here? So that was pretty daunting. But then coming in, of course, she was there as my mentor. And so she was still in the classroom with me every single step of the way. And there's such a community feel where once you're part of Lance Holt, you're part of the family. And so there was just such embrace and family, and they really lift you up and help you out of any kind of holes that you dig yourself.
I think there's a misconception about what learning is for a lot of people. For a lot of people, they think that learning is what happens when we sit at a desk with a book in front of us. For children, particularly young children, learning is happening every moment of their day. It's happening in a relational way. It's happening in a conflict resolution way. It's happening in a discovery learning way. It's happening through all of the things they do, through their play. So Lance Holt is a school that has always honoured learning in a much broader sense than what is often traditionally viewed as learning in an academic sense. So, you know, one of the things we've always prided ourselves on as a school is that we invest as much in our children's social emotional learning as we do in their academic learning, and that it's not enough to be a clever person and a smart person and an achieved person. We need to be a person that gets along with other people, a person who can solve problems, a person who can negotiate, a person who can say, oh, look, here's a problem. How am I going to solve that? So it's the school views learning in much bigger and broader ways. And ironically, of course, this is what we talk about now in the education scene, what we call the 21st century learning skills or the soft skills or the capabilities. They're all of those skills that we now know we need to be successful human beings, not just successful academic students.
How was it different to teaching at other schools?
The thing that I struggled with the most coming into Lance Holt is working with children's behaviour, I guess. That was something that I really struggled with in the first year because Lance Holt School don't subscribe to the behaviourist kind of theories of, you know, rewards charts and real teacher-imposed consequences and sticker charts and timeout. We don't subscribe to any of that. That's what my first school gave me. You know, if a child was having a hard time, you'd put their name on a one or a two or a three, send them to buddy classes. I had one child who I was told I needed to have a buddy class for in my first school. And so I just kind of did what I was told before I knew better that I could actually question things. And one day I sent him there and he came back and he said, you know, Miss Trollio, that was my name at the time, Miss Trollio, so-and-so have said that if I keep on having to go to her class, she's going to call the police. I had pre-primaries and these are five-year-old children, and in my head I'm like, you cannot threaten my children with the police. Like, the police are here to help you. You cannot threaten a child because they're having a hard day. So needless to say, that child did not ever go to buddy class ever again. So these are the kinds of things that I'd been kind of exposed to in my first school. And coming into Lance Holt, I really struggled with knowing how to work with children's behaviour under the guidance philosophy. So I spent the year really learning that in a hands-on way.
Coming through the school, there seems to be a sort of rite of passage that the kids go through. Starting with what was Juliet's class, now run by Danica, they get this first sense of guidance-based learning where, you know, they're told if, you know, if they do something naughty, they don't get put in the naughty corner, they get asked, was that the right decision? And then once this self-governance kicks in, they move on to Annabelle's class, which is the pre-primary program, I believe, and she has these beautiful lesson plans that she puts together. Then they move on to year one, which is now run by Meredith. And that's really where they start to step out of that little kid thing, you know, and, you know, get a sense of who they are in the broader community of Lance Holt School. And then they get to Deborah's class. And Deborah's class is a really important part of the journey because this is where they stop being little kids and they actually really have to take some responsibility. And the way that they do that is bush school. And we're going to take some risks and we're going to jump off logs into puddles and make things. And I think there's a thing called a hoochie that they make where they kind of thread together a, I don't know what a hoochie is, but I heard a lot about a hoochie.
A hoochie is a tarpaulin with loops around the edges of it from which you can, or through which you can thread ropes to tie in any configuration that you like. Hi, I'm Deborah Salahuddin. I work at Lance Holt School. I'm the Year 2 teacher there. I've been working at Lance Holt on and off since 1986. And every Friday we head off into the bush. We get on the bus, the Year 2s and the Year 3s, and find a place where we can spend the day learning and enjoying nature. Bush school first began 10 years ago and it was inspired by what is called the Archimedes Forest Training. So that was offered to me by Ron, who had been the principal at the time, and he'd phoned me one day and said, look, this position on a training course is available. I really think you should take it. And so I did. And so I spent a week training with this guy who was from the forest schools. He'd come from England. Was absolutely and completely inspired by it. And I realised that that's what, one, I had been missing as a teacher, and two, the children in Lance Holt, as in an inner city, urbanised group of kids, had been not so much denied because their parents actually provided some sort of nature connection to them, but that was an integral part of our school that had over the years disappeared because previously that had been something that we'd all been, all had easy access to. You know, there was never a question of, okay, it's today and I'm off and out. and over the years, things had happened to change that. You know, we'd all become much more aware of, I don't even know the way to put it, but, you know, litigationist issues, etc. And so that we'd been, yeah, political correctness, all of that, and the need to abide by curricular constraints. And this offered an opportunity to include all of those things in a way that would be recognised and justifiable.
I think bush school began when our middle daughter Sigrid was in year two in Deborah's class in year 2-3. And I think it had grown out of this idea that Deborah had. She'd gone and learned some about nature play and about bush school and that, and started it up, and it was amazing the impact it had upon that group of children as well, and how connected to it they were. And the thing I always loved about it was that it was their own secret place. They would go off on Friday mornings and we never quite knew. So it was parents are out of this. This is not our space. So we never quite knew what they got up to during those bush school days as well, which was really lovely. We would get little snippets of things that had been, told or recorded or photographed. But it was their own space and it was this special kind of rite of passage that they did. And at the end, when they were in year 3 and they were ready to graduate from bush school, Deborah would have these lovely little traditions and rituals about, I think they used to jump off a log or something, or jump out of a tree, something really special that they used to do to mark that's the end of your bush school time. Now you're going up to Christine's class and you're going to be going to River School as well.
So. Can you describe experiential learning?
I guess one of the biggest examples of experiential learning that I've got would be one of my favourite projects that I've ever done with the children at Lance Holt. So it was the current year six group when they came into year one, and it was day two where one of them started talking about how sad it was that there was so much pollution in the sea and that it was killing sea life, and that we embarked on this year-long journey of looking into how we can help to look after the sea and the environment. And we tied it in so closely with Bathers Beach. From being pre-primary year one, we have beach school. So they've already had this year-long intimate relationship with Bathers Beach, with beach school. So we were able to kind of wrap our year-long project around what they knew about beach school, what they knew about ocean life and looking after the sea. But then we also infused it in with Fremantle as well. And so we went out and had a look around the Fremantle community. We ended up going into Kakulis because one of the experiences that we had was looking into our lunch boxes and having a look at the rubbish that we had. And one of the recurring pieces of rubbish that we'd had was those Cobb's popcorn packets. They're quite popular with children at school. And I kind of said, you know, there's a way that we could do this without any waste. And so we went to Kakulis and bought our popcorn kernels, and then we came back to school and popped the popcorn and had a look at the benefits of having Kakulis at our doorstep, the costs of buying the kernels and then popping them ourselves. And for the same amount of money that you could buy this bag of Cobb's popcorn, we ended up with so much more popcorn. So it was just one of those real life experiences that the children were like, wow, we went and bought this popcorn and look how much we've got, and kind of weighted up against the rubbish that we had. So that was a really cool project. So just being able to head out into Fremantle whenever the opportunity kind of strikes, I guess we're really lucky to have that Fremantle-ness of Lance Holt School, such an inextricable part of our school. So I handed over the reins to year one, over to Meredith, who has had a very long relationship with the school. So she was our literacy support teacher, and she also covered some of our DOT in the years leading up to taking year one. But she'd also sent both of her children, so Ru and Indy, to our school as well. So she was just the perfect person to take year one because she had such a good understanding of the foundations of the Lance Holt School philosophy that she could kind of hit the ground running. And I felt, you know, handing over a class halfway through the year over to another teacher where I've put my heart and soul into these children felt really strange, but I felt really good knowing that it was Meredith who was kind of taking over from my position.
Hi, I'm Ru Korshinsky, and my mum, Meredith... Wait, what am I saying about her?
I left school, my mum didn't.
My mum, Meredith, works at this school. She does a lot of teaching here and there. I had her as a teacher for a few years. Ideally, I wouldn't have grown up and I could still be at this school because it's such a lovely place, and I hope I can come back one day, give back to the school for all they've given me.
Hi, so my name's Dylan Korchinski, and my son and daughter, Indy and Ru, went to Lance Holt. Ru started in 2006, if we've got our maths right. And Indy would have finished in 2016, so that's a decade. And during that decade, I served on the school council for 3 or 4 years and had a ball. I was firstly a parent and always firstly a parent, but I was on the council for a number of years. I'm going to guess 3, but maybe that's conservative, maybe it was 4. I know I was tried to be roped in for a final year when Ru had actually left school. So I must have done a pretty good job because they didn't get rid of me. And occasionally, being a biologist, I'd be dragged in by either Christine or Seth or Meredith to, you know, do something with the kids. And that was the best time because it was just so ad lib. It was just go with what they were interested in, which is the best kind of way of teaching in my mind anyway.
It feels very different from what I experienced in high school and since leaving, but you just went with the flow. I think we can quote Christine on that one. And I don't know, it just felt like an adventure all day. You were just always doing something new, something exciting. Didn't really remember it like subjects or like periods, but I just kind of, it was just always learning and always having fun, I guess. And I think you didn't really notice that you were learning. Like, I never really remembered the holidays. Like, I never counted down to the holidays, or I always just felt like I was just having an adventure, and I was just, there was where I wanted to be. There was nowhere else I wanted to be. Yeah. I remember making the balloon car. Mine was three-wheeled. Seth was telling us there was some secret trick to, like, making your balloon car go far, and I figured it out, but I think mine still came, like, dead last because I had the alignment slightly off. But did the marble runs as well. Me and Skeet spent ages making ours. I think we had the record, and then one meeting, maybe it fell over or something, and we lost it pretty quick. But we had, like, toolboxes and hammers and drills and scissors and tape, and we'd just spend the lunches, recess, just working on our projects together, which was really fun.
Yeah. I remember, actually, the thing that struck me most was the connections with the families, and particularly with Roosie, we felt that there was such a good, strong connection between the families. Outside of school, you know, we used to go once a year camping down at Dwelling Up and doing stuff like that, which was great. But the thing that's I remember most is those sorts of conversations with your year group about fundraising, because being on council and know how important, you know, raising some funds every year was to kind of do those little bit of extra things that, you know, the school's budget wouldn't stretch to. So the fundraising would kind of bridge some of those gaps, which is really important. And I remember that Joanna, who runs Cadogo down there, sort of said, oh, listen, why don't we, in typical Joanna fashion, it's always a bit disorganised but fantastic sort of enthusiasm, why don't we all just gather at Cadogo and everybody bring some food and we'll have some drinks and we'll sit down and brainstorm this kind of fundraising thing. And I remember getting there and it felt like just a mini party, and we were all just sort of having a great time, but talking fundraising. I mean, who would have thought you'd have so much fun? And the conversation, yeah, went from these massive ideas about, I remember Pip had this idea of we're going to bury some, like, amazing treasure, like $10,000 in a chest on Bathers Beach, and then people will buy a slot. And so we went from that, and we were talking about security and what we'd need and food and all sorts of other stuff going on. And at the end, we kind of went full circle and said, what about, well, we'll just chip in $50 and call it quits and have another one of these nights. So I can't remember what we actually did, but the memorable part of it was just the fact that we had a great night talking about fundraising, which, you know, tell me any PNC that would have that sort of conversation.
Some of my most fond memories of Lance Holt School being a community school, and when I try and explain what Lance Holt School is to people, I always say, it's a community school. And then I kind of don't know what to say next, but I think the best way to explain what a community school is that, you know, you look at the school camps or you look at Tuck Shop, you know, there's often moments when we all have to be sitting around and we're put on a team of cooking on a Tuesday night, and there's always a bunch of parents that you might have kind of waved to or whatever, but suddenly you're sitting down and you're making a meal together and you're choosing music, and by the end of that cooking experience, everyone feels like they know each other and you've kind of been through this experience together as parents. And that is what being a community is all about. It's actually knowing the people, having this socialization with, you know, your friends and peers around you.
I think there's something about the community of parents where you kind of build up and you kind of feed off each other this enthusiasm for a project, and you can do some huge things. And I think there's a few examples of sort of parent-led things that have been just incredible. And I think it's because of a lot of the members of the community working together. And then afterwards you go like, oh, geez, we did that.
But it was always a really comfortable place. It felt like a big old comfy armchair, a safe place and like a home. So I remember thinking the kitchen in the middle, and parents used to sit and have cups of tea and chat to each other. I'm sure it annoyed the teachers a lot, and we used to make a lot of noise in there, but there was always that sort of gathering. Nothing was too flash. Everything was kind of well used and comfy, and there was a sense of making do. And everything, like, I just thought the school was magical when we first went in there. There was this kind of energy. And I think it's that thing of having so many people in a building over so many years as well.
I do remember once we did Tuck Shop, our family. This is probably not the greatest story to tell. But I think we didn't have that much left by the end. It was my family doing Tuck Shop. Because we'd served the kindies. It wasn't me who did this. We'd served the kindies a lot more than they probably should have had. So by the time It was the year 6-7's turn to come down. There wasn't that much left. And one of my friends got rather frustrated about it and decided to write a petition to have more food produced for them because they were still hungry after having their small portions. So she gathered together a bunch of people and got them to sign their names and took it down to the kitchen. And Deborah put on a big pot of pasta and cooked that, and they had it in class.
I've got a couple of standout memories. I think the first one I'll share with you is the 2006 Rottnest camp, where I was on dinner duty, and it was Falil's fried rice night, because he could do a mean fried rice, and I was in charge of the poppadoms, and I had this thing going. I was cranking with the poppadoms. I had boxes full of poppadoms. But I moved one of the microwaves from one of the other houses into our house to do the poppadoms, because he's a bit of a taskmaster, and I had to get through I don't know how many hundred poppadoms, and you put them in the microwave. You could only really do one or two at a time, and so I had two microwaves going, and I had this system, and I was kind of like dancing between the boxes. Yeah, it was kind of like a couple of, you know, no, it wasn't really like turntables or decks, but it was poppadom spinning around inside the microwaves, and they needed to be just the right time. I think I figured that it was about 28 seconds was just right to make them puff up, but for some reason I think I typed in the numbers wrong, and I was busily stacking poppadoms in a box, and all of a sudden there was this flash of light from one of the microwaves, and I thought, oh crap, The microwave's on fire, and I had to quickly stop the power off, pull the plug out, and all this smoke filled up the house, and the microwave was just black inside, and I thought, oh crap, I've stuffed one of the microwaves, I'm going to be in trouble. This is when I was a relatively new parent at the school, and I was kind of really hush-hush about it, and I've never really told the whole story because I was worried about ramifications. But I had to, quickly put the microwave outside and kind of surreptitiously scrub the inside of the microwave completely clean. And I don't actually know if it still worked afterwards because I just put it back into one of the houses.
I used to love that about Rottnest Camp, about how we would just take whatever furniture, whatever pots and pans, cutlery from whatever house we felt like, and it all used to just end up somewhere. And then on the last morning when we were all running around cleaning, tidying up, everyone would just put stuff out on the walls and you'd be like, right, I need 6 plates. I know how many I need. I need this many spoons. And you just go shopping up the street. So you'd walk along and just take what you needed from people's walls so that you always ended up with the right amount at the end of the camp. Yep. Perfect.
So one of my most fond memories of cooking on school camp was, we were at Rottnest camp and we had a bit of a disaster because myself and Beth had gone for a bike ride, and you know, we were riding along and there was a group of cyclists, and unfortunately one of them came a bit too close to Beth and she lost her steering and came over the handlebars. You know, luckily, you know, one of the people, you know, with this group was a nurse and came up and said, you know, don't move, you know, is anything, you know, can you feel your legs? Anyway, she was okay, but, you know, it turned out she'd fractured a rib. We got her to the local, you know, Rottnest Island Hospital, and she kind of got patched up as best she could. And then we had to get back in time because we were on dinner duty. And Jeff and Cammy, who were two parents, they were in charge of dinner for the whole entire week. And we got there, and I think mine and Beth's job was to make sticky date pudding for 100 people. So we were busy doing that. But then there was a bit of controversy going on because the salad people had used up all the tomatoes, and the skewer people were not happy about this. And I really appreciated watching how Jeff and Cammy communicated with each other, because Jeff was like, Cammy, we've got a serious issue here. The skewer people are upset at the salad people because they don't have any tomatoes, because the salad people have used all the tomatoes. So they kind of negotiated that Jeff would go in and talk to the salad people and grab some of the tomatoes and give it to the skewer people, who were still not entirely happy because they wanted more tomatoes for their skewers. But we made it through. The skewer people got their tomatoes. The salad people's salad was, you know, it was as salad-y as it was going to get. And there was sticky date pudding for 100 people. But yes, we survived that ordeal to live another day and cook another Rottnest dinner. There's been a lot of talk about the West End ride, and it is a really important part of the Lance Holt experience. You know, everyone talks about the West End ride leading up to that final year where you go to Rottnest and you do the West End ride. That sense of achievement that the kids get when they kind of come back off this sweaty ride and, you know, they've made it and they get their certificate and their Mars bar. It's really cool to see.
Tell me about the legend of the Death Ride.
Was it our West End ride? Was that us? The Death Ride? Were we the Death Ride? Was that the year above us? I don't know, but I remember the elusive Death Ride.
Actually, I was on that camp, but I remember them coming in.
Hi, I'm Seth Yeoman. I'm the Year 5-6 teacher at Lance Holt School. I started there in October 1995. So, yeah, been there for almost 25 years, so almost half the life of the school, which is really special. It was the West End Ride, 2010. A Thursday came round. I just said to the kids, it was like stormy all week, and I said, look, I'm really sorry, guys. I don't think we're going to do the West End Ride on Thursday. And, oh, no Mars bar. And anyway, we had a quiz morning, and then I looked outside. There was some blue sky in the background towards the west, and I thought, what the heck, you know, damn the torpedoes, let's go. So we said, okay, we're going to the West End this afternoon, yay. And anyway, we had this great big line of bikes and we took off. We got to the causeway and then the first front hit. It came over from the west and it was, I would say, 80, 90k winds. There were the rain was coming horizontal. And we got halfway across the causeway. I was right at the front of the pack where I usually am, and I didn't realise this, but two kids got blown off the causeway into the salt lake. We came to a standstill because the wind was so strong. We got out to the west end where the three fronts came through, and there was kids hiding under bushes, and, you know, I was trying to get behind a gum tree, and we were beyond the point of return. We just had to go, and we battled on. It took us 3.5 hours to get out there. It usually only took about 45 minutes or an hour. So it took us about 3.5 to get out there. One of the parents, Robin, is a doctor. We stopped for a break and he comes up and goes, I think such and such is getting hypothermia. Oh my God. And this kid just had a tiny pair of shorts on, a singlet. And we wrapped her up we found a jacket. We put an emergency blanket around her first to warm her up. We, you know, warmed her up. We put a big jacket on her and she made it through. She got to the West End. And we're all there, we've got our photos taken, the wind was blowing, and anyway, we hopped in our bikes and it took us 20 minutes to get back. It took us 3.5 to get out there and 20 minutes to get back. It was like we had the breeze behind us and there was kids flying past with their jackets out and sailing down the road. And yeah, we called that one the Death Ride. And you know, I had younger kids coming through whose older brothers and sisters did the Death Ride, and they said, oh, Seth, I hope it's really windy so we can do a Death Ride. And I said, you don't want to do a Death Ride. Old sailor, you don't want to do the Death Ride.
Yeah, my other standout memories are graduations at the Frio Town Hall, because everyone would get together, everyone would be pretty relaxed, you know, and I still get, I don't know, when the kindy kids get up to do their number, it always gets me. I always feel a bit teary and smiley and happy. And then afterwards, when the evening's over, especially if there've been a few good speeches, you kind of, I don't know, watching the kids climb in the Moreton Bay fig trees there and everyone just milling around and the kids running around, that's the best, yeah.
Oh, my favourite is graduation, always and forever. That was the most special day of the year when I was little, and it still sort of is. It's definitely a favourite because it was just so exciting to get to go walk to the town hall in the morning, do the dress rehearsal with everyone there, and it's so exciting, and you get to go home early and then come back in the evening and see everyone. And it just felt so special because everyone was sharing such a fantastic and special evening together, and that was always my favourite.
There's one, I think it was Mim's graduation, where it was always hot and windy. Every single time we would have graduation at the town hall, it would be hot and windy, and we'd all make plates of food and, you know, like set up this amazing dinner for afterwards. And this particular graduation, that was our first graduation at the school where we actually had a child graduating, so it was, you know, it's a big deal. and they're nervous and you've got to get the right dress and it's all just huge for them. There was just this monsoonal rain and we had made these amazing huge tissue paper flowers. We'd made this arch full of flowers and they were all different colours. All the mums had got together to do this and one of the dads, Paul, had made this amazing kind of stage decoration as well. And we'd made flowers to go. We'd actually hired these pedicabs that were around Frio at the time. And we thought, wouldn't it be really nice for the graduating class to get in these pedicabs and go for a big ride around Frio and arrive at the town hall? Because this is one of the really big graduation traditions, is that the year sevens, as they were then, and the year sixes, as they are now graduating, always figure out some really cool way of arriving together at graduation. And it's something that we've really loved kind of watching over the years. So this year we're like, right, we've got the pedicabs. We're going to get the pedicabs. We'd hired all these pedicabs that I think were ridden by kind of travelling backpackers hanging out in Frio. And it was just pouring. It was raining cats and dogs. It couldn't have been any heavier. So we sent all these kids off with these big umbrellas and these wilting tissue paper flowers that we'd used to decorate the pedicabs. And they went for this sort of drizzly ride around Frio and then they arrived at the town hall, still miraculously dry. And the sort of ceremony had started and they came in through the main doors. The pedicabs just kind of rode straight in because they didn't know what to do. We hadn't briefed them on you have to stop outside the hall and let the kids off. And they just rode straight in. And we had built this sort of garden arch that was covered with tissue paper flowers. And they just kept riding, like, we're going to ride through the arch. And we were like, all the mums at the back, we were just like, no, what's going to happen now? And he just, like, I remember the first rider with these kids in the back came riding into the hall and tried to ride through the arch and just got stuck. Couldn't go forwards, couldn't go backwards. And everyone was just, we were literally like doubled over, laughing, crying, thinking, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this? Everyone's just watching. And I think in the end, I think a couple of parents came and kind of pushed them back through the arch and it was all good. But just that moment of how are we going to get ourselves out of this one? And that graduation, it just rained and rained and rained. It was like a monsoon the whole evening. And it was just so loud, wasn't it, on the hall roof and everything. But it was the loveliest evening. It was just, yeah, it was magical.
Can you tell me about the Lance Holt graduation song and where it came from?
We were lucky enough to be asked by Lance Holt School to come in and help write a Lance Holt School song. And we did it with the final Year 7 class. And we sat down and we did this songwriting workshop with them and ended up with all these lyrics which were about, you know, being at Lance Holt School. And it was designed to be the song that the kids sing as they graduate. So, you know, the song starts off with, you know, it's time to leave and we're sad to go and leave behind all the things we know. And then it goes into the chorus where it's like morning meeting and tuck shop and water fights and all these things at a very Lance Holt School. And you know, I was very lucky that I got to come in and write with these kids, but also each year while our kids have been at school, I've come back and helped the kids rehearse it up and sing it at the graduation performance. And every year, you know, it's a great experience because not only, you know, do you feel like crying at the end of it and kind of happy at the same time, you get to know these kids and you might have seen them around the school, but like you go through this experience together, learning and singing a song together. So the kids feel really safe with you and you can have this, you know, on the level conversation that only Lance Holt School kids can do. It feels like such a privilege to be able to go in and experience and be part of the learning experience with your kids.
Several years ago, there were some ideas about buying a new building and splitting the school into, you know, an upper school with the older children and an early learning centre. And I think that for me was, that has been the biggest challenge in my time there as a parent of seeing what the school has been over the course of its life and wanting it to kind of evolve and grow and be fine and be financially fine forever, but also not wanting to lose what the school is about in terms of being small, of everyone knowing everyone, being safe, being all in the one place, the big kids knowing the little kids, everyone knowing everyone's names. Like, how many schools do you go to where, you know, you're like you only have to go to a few meetings and you start to learn all the names of all the children as well, and they all know each other's names. And I think not wanting to see that lost and not wanting to see two buildings where the children were separated and not having that really casual interaction, you know, where the kids come downstairs and go upstairs and they kind of are part of each other's daily lives. It never really came to be, but I think during the time where it was going to be a possibility, I think that's the kind of thing that caused the most sort of conflict within my idea about what the school is and could be and what it needed to do to kind of grow and survive into the future as well.
I reckon a small community school like Lance Holt, where everyone knows everyone, you're going to have blow-ups sometimes. Because we're human, the teachers are human, they make mistakes, and the parents are human and they make mistakes. That can cause a bit of a drama. And because we're a small community, and often we've got this expectation of us being a bit like a nurturing family, it can make the people that are on the bad end of an issue feel like they've been done wrong in a bad way, that the family's let them down, that the community's let them down. But because it's also a formal educational institution, it needs to be accountable in a professional way for what it does. Gee, how do you figure that one out? That's really hard. You kind of sometimes have to live with the idea that sometimes it's not going to be all right for everyone. And there'll be people that come and go from the school because they've had their hearts broken from the experience. That happens all the time, unfortunately. But the strength of the school is that most people that come to the school love the community feel of it, and that they're going to be forgiving of those little moments where we mess up and, you know, make a mess on the floor or whatever. Yeah.
It's like what a family is. Families are not perfect. And they come apart and they come together and, you know, often they find ways through things. And that is what I think has been the most wonderful lesson in terms of human relationships through all these years for me as well.
What I find that's really sung out to me from being at Lance Holt and from a lot of my friends that have finished their teaching degree with me as well is, for the most part, you kind of end up in a school because a job became available. You were looking for a job, you kind of end up in that school. But I really find that Lance Holt School, you don't just end up there because you want a job, you end up there because you want to be there. And I've really found that that's been a huge point of difference for the teachers there. We're all there because we believe in the school and we all want to be part of the Lance Holt community. It's not just like a serendipitous as a job that's kind of been up. I mean, in my case, it did come up, but I applied because I wanted to be there, but it's not just a job for everyone at our school. It's a career. We're there because we're invested in the school community, the families, the children. It's a bit different in that way.
We also have our neighbours who we've known for years since the girls were little, who have watched our girls grow up. Their little girl, Orla, is 3, and she's just started Prindy there this year. So for us, it feels like, because she's like our little sister, she's one of our girls, and for us it feels like, thank goodness we actually can watch this other little person grow into the school now and to see what it's going to be like for her generation. And Miriam went to pick her up from Prindy yesterday and I just thought, how amazing, like how lucky that we can watch from afar now and see how this little, because we'll always kind of, even when we go away and we're not part of the community so much anymore, we'll always be watching, kind of, seeing how the school is growing still and changing. And I know whenever I walk past, I always have that sense of, you know, there it is. And I remember one evening when we walked past in the evening and it was kind of like one of those magical summer evenings, and our middle daughter, Sigrid, just went up to it and she said, "It still feels so lovely and safe, like it feels like home." So I think that's always something that we'll have with us.
And the school's designed like a maze. I mean, I still can't find my way around here. So I'm always impressed when kids take you to their classroom or something and you think, oh, yeah, that's quicker than I usually get there. So, that's a characteristic of the school. And if you've been to any of the old buildings of Frio, I suppose they're similar. But as a school, yeah, it's pretty unique.
Just thinking about Seth's room right now, I remember actually in year six, we got a couch and a fridge, which was pretty cool. It was brought on by our year, I think. I don't even know why we thought it would be a good idea, but we found this couch, we found a fridge, and we installed it in the corner of the classroom, and it was kind of like a little hanging out area. It made us feel really big and growing up. We had our drinks and food in the fridge and stuff. So that was definitely another special thing, I think, quite personal to our year and maybe a few following us, but definitely something that I remember as an experience at my time.
It's more often than that I was here frequently but briefly because I was so close. I could sort of run out of a lecture, fly into the classroom, I don't know, watch Indy or Roo give a little speech or do something or hear a bit of morning meeting, and then I would zip out and get back before anyone noticed I was gone.
Thank you, Lance Holt School, for giving my girls just so much of who they are now. Yeah, and so much of who we are as a family.
Lance Holt was such a special experience for myself and my whole family. You know, my two kids went through Lance Holt. I met my wife there. That's a story for another podcast. But, you know, eventually we had four kids who all went through Lance Holt. And I'm just so thankful that they had that experience. Lance Holt produces kids who have this amazing sense of self. And if you can do one thing right for your kids before they go out into the big bad world, it would be giving them a sense of self. And I just want to say thank you, Lance Holt, because you gave that to our children.
The overriding principle of everything is learning should be fun. And we're here to have fun.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you want to learn more about Lance Holt School, go to www.lanceholtschool.wa.edu.au.
This has been a Tempoli production.